The pressure shows up before anyone names it. A daughter stands in a Brooklyn kitchen while her aunt measures her worth by the pace of her steps and the sharpness of her answers. 5 states away, a mother in Atlanta watches her daughter walk in from school with tired eyes and forces a smile that hides her own fear of falling behind. 2 cultures, 2 systems, the same weight. It moves through the room like a rule that no one debates. Do better. Rise faster. Prove something that keeps shifting. The aunt believes she is guarding the family's dignity. The mother believes she is protecting her daughter from a world that keeps score. Both are certain the stakes are real. Both push hard. Neither sees the strain building in the quiet moments, when the girls look away and swallow the gap between who they are and who they are expected to be. Chapter 1. Setup and Stakes. The morning starts with a thin silence inside a narrow Brooklyn apartment. The building carries the weight of old pipes and slow heat, but inside the kitchen, everything feels sharp. The aunt stands near the stove, with her hands wrapped around a mug, watching the younger girl move. The girl is careful with each step. She keeps her voice low. She tries not to spark anything that will bring questions she cannot answer. The aunt studies her without a word. Expectations show in the way her eyebrows hold steady. It is not anger, it is duty. She believes she is shaping the girl for a world that will not care about softness. The girl knows the routine. She reaches for the lunch container, checks the lid twice, and places it on the counter. The aunt nods, nothing more. The nod means she is aware of the girl's effort, but expects more. Work harder. Move with purpose. Carry the family forward. The girl feels the pressure before the day even starts. It sits on her shoulders, like a task list that keeps growing. Every move must meet a standard she never agreed to, but has learned to follow. Outside, the hallway feels cold. The aunt calls out once more and reminds her to stay focused. The girl answers with a short yes. No delay. She closes the door and breathes for the first time that morning. The pressure hangs behind her like a shadow. She knows it will still be there when she returns. In Atlanta, the mother leans against the kitchen counter while her daughter walks in from the driveway. The girl's backpack looks heavy, her shoulders sad. The mother keeps her voice steady. She asks how school was. The girl says fine, nothing more. The mother wants to ask why her eyes look tired, why her steps seem slow, but she holds back. She has her own worries, bills, work deadlines, a sense that the world moves faster than she can manage. She tells herself she must push her daughter to stay ahead. It feels like the only protection she can offer. She asks about assignments. The girl lists a few. Each one sounding like another stone added to a rising stack. The mother nods and keeps her tone even. She knows the rules of her environment. Parents must stay alert. They must watch for any slip, any sign that their child might fall behind. She tries to hide her worry, but her daughter sees the tension in her face. It comes through in the small pauses. It tells the girl she must keep moving, even when she feels worn down. These two scenes stand far apart on the map, but they share the same pressure. In Brooklyn, the aunt carries inherited weight. In Atlanta, the mother carries social weight. Both see the world through the lens of survival. Both believe the next generation must be prepared for unseen blows. Neither sees how the pressure settles on the girls with no escape route. The girls move through their routines with controlled breaths. They keep their words brief. They keep their heads down. They try not to disappoint the adults who claim to be shaping their futures. The aunt's sense of duty comes from the island she left behind. She grew up with rules that were not written down but understood by everyone around her. Children moved with discipline. They respected elders. They carried out tasks without complaint. A lapse in effort meant you did not care about the family standing. She brought these rules with her when she landed in New York. She holds on to them because they gave structure to a past filled with hard seasons. In her mind, the girl under her roof must learn the same resilience. The aunt cannot imagine easing the pressure. She believes that ease leads to softness, and softness leads to trouble. So she watches the girl's pace. She checks her tone. She measures the neatness of her schoolwork. She does not see this as harsh. She sees it as necessary. The pressure is a shield. It has always been a shield. Across the country, the mother faces a different system, but it also pushes from every angle. Her job depends on meeting targets that shift without warning. Her neighborhood expects visible success. Her social circle views parenting as a performance. She feels judged by how well her daughter performs in school, in sports, in any setting where numbers define worth. She tries to keep control of every variable. She believes that one misstep can turn into a long slide. When she talks to her daughter about school, she tries to soften her tone. She reminds herself not to push too hard, but the fear sits under her words. It shapes each question, she asks. It shapes the silence that follows when her daughter does not offer much detail. The mother senses a gap between them, but does not know how to reduce it. She tells herself that pressure is part of the job. She tells herself her daughter will understand one day. Both girls feel the same tightness in their chest. They sense the expectations long before they understand them. They learn to move with caution. They learn to keep certain thoughts to themselves. They try to meet standards that shift with each adult's mood. They feel judged even when no one speaks. They learn that approval is brief and that mistakes linger. The Brooklyn girl walks into school with her shoulders tense. She tries to keep her head clear. She waits for the first class and tells herself she will get through the day. She hears the aunt's voice in her mind. Stay alert. Stay sharp. Show discipline. These rules follow her into each classroom. They guide the way she responds to teachers. They shape the way she handles group work. She carries the pressure like a quiet weight. It shapes her posture. It shapes her breathing. In Atlanta, the girl drops her backpack near her desk and opens her laptop. She moves through her assignments with mechanical focus. Her mother checks in from the hallway. The girl says she is fine. She keeps her answer short. She does not want her mother to worry. She does not want the questions that come when she seems behind. She works until her eyes ache. She tells herself she must keep pace. She must avoid giving anyone a reason to doubt her ability. The chapter's tension grows from the unspoken truth. Both adults believe they are protecting the girls. Both girls feel trapped in a cycle they did not choose. The aunt relies on cultural codes built over generations. The mother relies on social codes that shift with every trend. The girls stand caught between duty and exhaustion. As the day closes, the Brooklyn girl returns home with the same tight breath she left with. The aunt asks how school was. The girl says fine. Her tone hides the strain. The aunt nods, unaware of the gap forming between her intentions and the girl's reality. In Atlanta, the mother stands by the kitchen sink as her daughter finishes homework. The mother asks if she needs help. The girl says no. The mother nods, believing her daughter is managing well enough. Both households seem calm, but the strain continues to rise. Chapter 2. Escalation and reversal. The voices begin to surface in fragments. Not interviews in a formal sense, but grounded accounts collected across kitchens, porches, break rooms, and school parking lots. Women speak of pressure the way others speak of weather. It arrives without warning. It settles into the day. It shapes decisions long before they understand its reach. A woman from Kingston remembers how her aunt carried authority into every room. The aunt never raised her voice. She did not need to. A single look meant the day's expectations had shifted and everyone adjusted. The woman says she learned discipline early. She says the pressure kept her moving, even when she felt tired. She also learned that rest felt like weakness. She carried that belief into adulthood. A woman from Miami, raised by another born in Trinidad, recalls the judgment that floated through family gatherings. Everything was measured: hair neatness, dress length, grades, speech. She felt watched, even when no one said a word. The pressure lived in those quiet assessments. She says she learned to shape herself into a version that stayed out of the line of fire. She still feels that instinct, decades later. These voices sit beside another set from American mothers who describe a different force, but recognize the same weight. A mother from Chicago remembers school meetings where teachers spoke in coded language about performance gaps. She says she felt the room watching her more than her child. She learned to hide fear under a controlled tone. She pushed her daughter without pause because hesitation felt like failure. Everything around her said she had no room for mistakes. A mother in Phoenix talks about social comparison that hangs over everyday life. She explains how test scores become currency, activities become status markers, sleep becomes optional. She says she pushed her child because she felt pushed from every direction. Expectations were a system. No one questioned them. Everyone chased them. She wonders now if the chase cost more than it gave. Each voice reveals a pattern. Caribbean aunties act as cultural enforcers. American mothers act as social protectors. Both operate inside systems larger than themselves. Both believe pressure is a tool. Both see it as necessary. Yet the women who grew up under these systems carry the scars quietly. A young woman from Jamaica describes how her aunt's sharp comments shaped her sense of self. She learned to move early. She learned to anticipate judgment. She believed her worth depended on staying ahead of mistakes. She says the pressure built a fire inside her, but also stripped away calm. She still jumps when someone calls her name with a firm tone. A woman raised in North Carolina describes her mother's constant reminders about college readiness. She felt watched every day. Not with anger, but with worry. Her mother wanted a safe future. The woman says she learned to chase approval because approval looked like love. She also learned to hide anything that hinted at struggle. She still finds it hard to admit when she feels overwhelmed. As these voices build, the tension sharpens. The chapter examines how each culture handles failure and deviation. Caribbean aunties often respond with corrective pressure. They tighten rules. They repeat expectations with firm pacing. Deviation is treated as a danger to survival. The auntie role is not optional. It is a position shaped by community history, migration, hardship, and pride. Failure threatens more than one person. It threatens the family standing. American mothers handle failure differently. Their pressure appears softer but cuts as deep. It comes through concern, layered with urgency. They cannot imagine letting their daughter drift. The system feels competitive. Resources feel scarce. One stumble can shift a child off a secure path. The mother's fear becomes routine. She adjusts schedules. She increases oversight. She tries to build a future through constant vigilance. Both approaches carry tension when they meet resistance. A girl in Toronto says she felt cornered by both forces after her family migrated. Her Caribbean aunt expected discipline. Her American-educated teachers expected constant achievement. She describes it as a double load. One side told her to show strength through obedience. The other told her to show strength through nonstop performance. She says she learned to split herself to survive both. Another woman in Los Angeles says she tried to follow her mother's guidance, but kept falling short of invisible benchmarks. Her mother rarely expressed anger. Instead, she carried silent disappointment that filled the house like a second presence. The woman says she felt trapped between wanting freedom and wanting approval. She learned that neither came easily. The cultural anchors shaping these voices become clear. In Caribbean communities, expectations tie back to history. Strong elders kept families steady through migration, economic hardship, and limited systems of support. The auntie became the keeper of standards. Her authority preserved order. Her pressure felt justified by survival. In American households, expectations tie back to individual achievement. The culture rewards winners and quietly penalizes those who slow down. Mothers face workplaces that demand long hours and schools that track performance from early grades. They push their daughters because they fear losing ground in a system that rarely forgives setbacks. These anchors shape the way the women in this chapter describe tension. Pressure becomes normal. Judgment becomes routine. The auntie steps in when she sees a slip. The mother steps in when she senses risk. Both act out of protection. Neither sees how deep the strain runs. The chapter's midpoint turn appears in the accounts of women who face both systems inside the same household. A girl raised in a Caribbean-American home in Maryland recalls the collision clearly. Her aunt visited often. Her mother kept strict routines. The aunt demanded disciplined behavior. The mother demanded flawless school performance. The girl felt caught between two sets of rules that never aligned. When she slowed down to rest, her aunt saw it as laziness. When she focused on chores, her mother feared she would fall behind in academics. The girl says she learned to operate under constant correction. She feared disappointing both sides. Another woman from New Jersey describes how her family fractured under these pressures. Her aunt believed the daughter lacked drive. Her mother believed the daughter resisted structure. Each woman blamed the other for the girl's struggles. The girl watched the conflict unfold without a voice. She learned that expectations could turn relatives against each other. She says the pressure became heavier because everyone assumed she was the problem. These lived voices reveal a truth that reshapes the chapter's stakes. The systems do not only pressure daughters. They pressure the women enforcing the rules. The aunt carries the image of the family. The mother carries the image of motherhood itself. When a girl struggles, both feel judged. They respond with stricter rules or sharper questions. Their reaction comes from fear more than anger. The women telling their stories recognize this fear now. Many say they wish the adults in their lives had shown them the reason behind the pressure, instead of tightening it without explanation. They wish someone had explained that the rules came from survival, not distrust. They wish the adults had understood how much weight they were placing on young shoulders. This chapter builds toward the open stake. What happens when these expectations collide inside a single person or single family? The stories show the growing tension. Girls adapt at first. They learn to mask fatigue. They learn to move with caution. But over time, the weight shifts from motivation to resentment. They begin to pull away. They begin to question the systems that shaped them. A woman in Boston says she reached a breaking point in college. She could not meet the demands of her aunt's expectations and the demands of her mother's social pressures. She felt torn between two standards she could never satisfy. She says the stress followed her into adulthood. She still measures herself against rules she no longer believes in. Another woman from Dallas says she confronted her mother one night after years of silent pressure. She said she felt suffocated. She said she needed room to breathe. Her mother fell silent. She did not realize the depth of her daughter's struggle. She had believed she was protecting her. These stories expose a shared truth. Pressure builds until it reaches a point where something shifts. The girls who once complied begin to seek distance. The adults who once enforced the rules begin to question their own role. The tension that held households together begins to loosen. Chapter 3. Resolution and aftermath. The reckoning does not arrive with raised voices. It arrives in quieter rooms where women speak honestly for the first time about what the pressure has taken from them. The stories in this chapter do not repeat the lived accounts from before. They move towards synthesis. They examine what remains after years spent carrying expectations built by culture, fear, pride, and survival. The tone shifts toward clarity. The pressure sits in the center, exposed but not yet resolved. A Caribbean woman in Toronto reflects on adulthood with a steady voice. She says she understands her aunt's rules now. She sees the hardships that shape them. The aunt lived through stretches of uncertainty and believed discipline was the only shield a family had. The woman respects that history. She does not reject it. But she says the shield hardened into something else when placed on a child. It became a weight she carried long after she left home. She explains that she learned strength from her aunt, but also learned to fear the moments when she could not meet every expectation. She still fights that fear, Tay.
Oh, come on, dear. What so? We may have paids that make it feel.
An American woman in Seattle speaks about her mother's insistence on achievement. She understands where the urgency came from. Her mother saw economic gaps. She saw how easily opportunities slipped away. She believed that effort and performance were the only paths to stability. The woman respects her mother's intention. She does not resent the care behind it. But she says the drive for constant progress created a sense of failure that never faded. Even now, success feels temporary. Rest feels dangerous. She carries an unease that she cannot fully explain. These reflections move into the heart of the synthesis. Both cultural systems were built to protect. Both carried the memory of threat. Caribbean aunties inherited a world where community reputation shaped survival. American mothers inherited a world where individual achievement shaped access to resources. Both acted out of fear. Both relied on pressure because they lacked softer tools. The shared truth emerges. Protection became indistinguishable from control. And the daughters absorbed the cost. A woman from Houston describes the aftermath of years spent under layered expectations. She says she became skilled at anticipating the needs of others. She could adjust quickly. She could adapt. But she rarely asked herself what she wanted. She grew into a person shaped by response rather than desire. She explains that the hardest part of adulthood was learning to make decisions that did not revolve around approval. She still struggles to separate her choices from the imagined reactions of her mother and aunt. In New Jersey, a woman raised by a strict aunt and a cautious mother speaks with quiet resolve. She says she reached a point where she saw the pressure for what it was, a survival tool from another era. Her aunt believed discipline kept danger away. Her mother believed high performance avoided future harm. But the woman says both systems underestimated how the world had changed. Pressure alone could not guarantee safety. It could not prevent disappointment. It could not erase risk. It only created silence where there should have been guidance. The documentary tone tightens as the chapter examines the unresolved tension between responsibility and freedom. Women across the stories share similar realizations. They acknowledge that some expectations had value. Structure taught them focus. Discipline taught them resilience. Standards gave them direction. But the cost came in the form of burnout, anxiety, and a quiet resentment that grew in the spaces where affection should have lived. Not all women reject the systems entirely. A woman in Orlando says she has softened the rules but not abandoned them. She teaches her daughter discipline without fear. She sets goals but leaves room for rest. She explains the reasons behind expectations instead of demanding compliance. She says the pressure does not need to vanish, it only needs to lose its sting. Her daughter understands the stakes without feeling crushed by them. Another woman from Boston takes a different path. She breaks the chain. She rejects the idea that pressure equals preparation. She sets clear boundaries around school, work, and rest. She tells her daughter that worth is not measured by output. She says she is reclaiming freedom her mother never had. She respects the past, but refuses to repeat it. Her home runs on steadiness instead of strain. These individual stories point toward the synthesis the chapter requires. The cultural histories behind Caribbean aunties and American mothers are different, but the emotional outcome converges. Both systems created generations of women who learned to manage expectations rather than express needs. Both systems taught strength, but rarely taught self-trust. Both systems left adults carrying silent doubts that grew from rules handed down without explanation. The open question of this series emerges fully in the final scenes. What forms of pressure are worth keeping? Women across the accounts admit that some expectations gave them stability. They learned to work hard. They learned to move with intention. They learned to handle crises with steady hands. But they also learned to bury uncertainty, hide exhaustion, and fear disappointment. The cost sits beside the benefit with equal weight. A woman in Brooklyn describes the moment she realized she could not maintain the old rules. She watched her daughter freeze during a simple task. She recognized the same tightness she felt as a child under her aunt's gaze. The realization struck her. She was repeating a cycle without understanding it. She stepped back and let her daughter breathe. She spoke softly. She explained rather than corrected. She says that moment became a turning point. She saw the difference between preparing a child and overwhelming one. Meanwhile, a woman in Denver describes how she confronted her mother about the fear wrapped inside achievement pressure. The conversation was quiet, not angry. She told her mother that she respected her intentions, but needed to release the weight she grew up carrying. Her mother listened. She admitted she had pushed hard because she did not know another way. The two reached an understanding. Not a solution, but a clear view of what shaped their lives. The chapter moves toward closure by acknowledging what remains unresolved. Expectations do not disappear. Culture does not erase itself. Pressure transforms but does not vanish. Women continue to balance inherited standards with modern realities. They continue to navigate the gap between survival instincts and emotional well-being. The synthesis lands with a steady truth. Pressure came from fear, but resilience came from experience. The next generation will decide how much of each they carry forward. The women in these stories stand at the border of past and future. Some rebuild the rules. Some loosen them. Some walk away from them entirely. Each choice reflects a search for balance between responsibility and freedom. As the series closes, the question lingers. The weight of expectation still sets in homes across the diaspora and across America. It shifts, but never disappears. Women continue to test how much pressure protects and how much harms. The future will depend on who chooses to pause, look at the past without flinching, and decide what is worth passing on.